Welcome to this podcast produced for Business Lincolnshire as part of the Fit for Business programme. I am Guy Lewis, and we're joined today by Liz Blount, an HR and Organisational Development Specialist at McMillan & Associates HR. Liz joins us for the first of our series of podcasts around wellbeing. Hi Liz, how are you?
Hi Guy, I'm good, thank you. Good to be here.
Good, and how's work been this week?
Busy as always, but really good.
Excellent. So what are we discussing today?
So this morning we're going to be talking about wellbeing, particularly in terms of remote working. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a subject now that's more relevant to lots of people. So it's good to be able to talk about that.
Good. And remote working, I guess now we're looking at remote working and hybrid working. I mean, they're the sort of the two bits that seem to be happening post the pandemic lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. So the pandemic really kind of shoved us all, didn't it, into remote working. And now we're seeing hybrid is really common. A lot of people are finding that works best for them. Mm-hmm. So it's got many benefits, being able to work in that way, and has benefits for well-being, but it does bring some different things that we need to consider, because I guess up until recently, for most of us, work meant we all turned up in the same place. Mm-hmm. And we all saw each other and we all did our work together in one place. And we've all got used to working like that. And now we're working in this different way. We just need to think about some of the implications of that and where we might need to do something different.
Okay, so where do we start in this sort of wellbeing area? What's the sort of things we're trying to work on?
So it might be helpful if we think there's different dimensions to our wellbeing, mm-hmm. different areas to think about. So if you go online and research this, you'll see there's different models, all kinds of different numbers according to this. Mm-hmm. But we're going to think about four areas. So physical wellbeing, emotional, social, and then one that we refer to as sort of occupational or vocational. There's other areas as well. Obviously, financial well-being is important, mm-hmm, at work, mm-hmm, as well. But they're the main ones we're going to think about. They all overlap, of course.
And I guess these were lots of things that were actually looked after by the company when you were working as a group, and now almost become more difficult or more prevalent as you're remote working or hybrid working.
Yeah. So I think the challenge is a lot of these things now, the individual has to take action to, mm-hmm, ensure their own well-being. And it's important that we understand that. But still, if you are the manager, the business owner, you need to be thinking about this, and you need to be thinking about how can you help your staff, mm-hmm, look after their own well-being? Because that's still part of your job, but it's maybe not as obvious because they're not sat right in front of you.
Okay, so where do we start then?
So we're going to start with physical well-being. Okay. So starting off, first of all, thinking about workspaces. So when the pandemic started, a lot of us suddenly found ourselves working from home. We all worked in really odd places, didn't we? Because it was a bit quick. So people were working from their sofas or their beds or whatever. That was fine for a short period of time. But if we're going to be doing this longer term, we need to think about a better setup. So we're seeing people develop musculoskeletal problems and other problems, mm-hmm, because they're working in a really bad position.
Yeah. I mean, I just only recently bought a really proper 24-hour office chair because I've been working for probably 2-3 years on a comfy dining room chair, but not maybe the right thing.
Yeah, and I was, you know, talking to a client only the other day. They had somebody who's been suffering from migraines and things because it turns out they've just been sat on their sofa and we end up sitting in a really bad position. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these wellbeing things we're going to talk about seem really simple and, mm-hmm, really obvious, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're easy to do. So, mm-hmm, it's just thinking through all those elements. So yeah, have you got a decent chair? Is your setup okay? A lot of us are working off laptops. Do you need a separate keyboard? Do you need to raise things up? Quite simple, but it's worth thinking through those things. And how are you going to know how your employees are working and what their setup looks like?
Yeah, I remember from years ago, you know, repetitive strain type things. And there was wrist rests. So
support.
When you type in, and that sort of the screen size, the screen height, that's still very important, even more so in your home setup or your remote working place.
Absolutely. And when we used to work in offices, sometimes you'd have somebody come round and check up on you, wouldn't you, and go, oh, how are you sitting? And obviously we don't necessarily have that at home. So it's worth thinking about, are you going to do that? Are you going to go out and look at people's homes? Perhaps not. So how are you going to do that? You're going to share advice, but are you going to check in with them? Are they following that So it's just having those conversations. I think that's going to be something we're going to come back to a lot, is are you having these conversations with your employees?
Mm-hmm. And I guess physical is also about maybe doing things that you would normally do at work, where you get up and go see someone at another desk, or you move around more, I suppose, than you might do at home.
Absolutely. And somehow we've got into this idea where, because you're working from home, people feel obliged to sit at their computer all the time, so that whenever that Teams or Slack message or whatever pops up, they can answer. And you're right, that's just not how we did it. When we all worked in an office, you would get up, you would go to the kitchen, make a cup of tea, perhaps stand and talk to somebody. You would go to somebody's desk, you'd go to the photocopier. And you're right, that was probably healthier patterns. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just things like standing up, moving around, do some stretching exercises. If you go online, you can find good examples of stretching exercises for people who are sat working at desks. So can you encourage that? Simple things like just getting outside and getting some fresh air. We know being in nature helps. Obviously, it depends where you live. But if you can just get outside and look at something other than your screen, can be really, really helpful. Nutrition's another one. There's benefits and dangers of working near the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but you know, if I'm having a difficult day, it's really easy when you go and make a cup of tea to think, well, maybe just have a biscuit while I'm here, which is fine, obviously. But can you also think about the benefits of having a kitchen? You know, you're not just limited to the office microwave anymore. So there are options for healthier eating. But it's just really easy to think to get into bad habits when you're just at home by yourself all day.
Yeah, the chocolate jar does get a bit of a, yeah.
It's too easy, isn't it?
Okay, so that's the physical side of it. What was the next one we talked about? Was that the emotional side?
Yeah, and I think this is one where if you are the business owner or manager, you just need to be a bit more alert. I think when you're seeing people physically on a day-to-day basis, it's easier to pick up on the signs. And I might think, oh, guy just doesn't seem himself today.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on. And then when that's happened for a few days in a row, I might just take you to one side when we're in the kitchen and go, guy, you're all right. You just don't seem yourself. If I'm just having emails with you or maybe a Zoom call once every so often, it's harder for me to pick up on those signs. So I think it's just being aware of that. It's really important to keep connections. So booking your one-to-ones, whatever frequency works for you. Some people do it once a week, once a fortnight, whatever. But it's really important to stick to that. It's quite easy for our meetings with our colleagues to get bumped by other stuff that's seen as more important. Mm. But it's really important that you keep those going. Make sure you're listening to what's being said. And then we often say it's about listening to what's not being said. So trying to pick up if people seem a bit withdrawn.
Just looking for things that are different, isn't it? Just
yeah.
Looking for a change. Yeah,
I mean, absolutely.
We're quite good. We have some very fixed times, which, you know, we sort of arrange the way where we all meet. It's a good part of our overall schedule, so that seems to work. And even during the lockdown, I think we were quite we had daily meetings just to support each other, because we were so used to meeting lots of people. To meet no one, I think was a real strange sort of change. So okay, so look out the signs for it all. Listen, interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen and try and pick up. And I think just if you can be aware of people's circumstances. So for some people, if you're living alone and you're working virtually, you know, it is quite possible to go all day without speaking to another human, which some people might enjoy. But longer term, you know, is that a problem? Other people, it's the other way around. They're trying to work in a tiny corner of a really busy house. So some awareness of what the person is dealing with can help you maybe pick up where you need to step in and support.
Okay. Just a bit of a side one. I do this now and again. I mean, what's the idea of remote working, you know, working from home? But there's also like working from a different place of work, isn't there? That idea of going out, leaving the home, but going to work in not necessarily your business premises, but a premise where you can work. You know, sort of, I'm thinking hot desking or them sort of hubs.
Yeah. And I think that can be really helpful and worth suggesting to people is, it can be a bit much if you just sat at home. And also it's worth bearing in mind our own circumstances. So I know someone I knew in lockdown, a lot of people in her company were sat in pretty ropey bedsits in London that they were probably paying huge amounts for this tiny room. And so they were literally having to sit on their bed all day working. And that's not ideal. So yeah, absolutely. Find out what other spaces there are out there. Can you team up with, you know, other small businesses around you and maybe use each other's spaces or, yeah, look at the different options. But that's a great idea.
My name is Guy Lewis, and you're with myself and Liz Blount discussing remote working. So we've covered the physical and we've covered the emotional. So what's the next one we need to think about in terms of our well-being and remote working?
So we're going to talk about social well-being. Now, obviously, this links quite strongly to what we've just been talking about, emotional. But I guess with that one, we were talking about perhaps you checking in with people and being aware of their emotional state. This one is thinking about keeping connected, and that's not just from a personal point of view. That's just making sure everyone feels connected in the business as well. Mm-hmm. So how are you coming together as a team if you're part of a team? So for example, in our business, we all tend to work remotely or with clients. But then once a quarter, we have team days where we come together, and that's a mix of business and fun stuff. And that's really important to us.
I've seen lots of walks and things. I've seen them on LinkedIn. Yeah, I've seen lots of that.
Yeah. So think about things like that. If you're maybe somebody that is, you know, running your own business or you're self-employed, find out what opportunities there are to meet up with other people in a similar situation. I know the word networking, some of us, it makes us go, oh, I don't really want to do that. But there's all sorts of different ways of networking. So find one that works for you. So yeah, you're getting out and you're connected in your business community.
Yeah, there's a couple I can think of. And one's a Thursday breakfast with a great bacon butty or a vegetarian option.
Always
and
good.
The other one was called Networks.
Yes.
So, yeah. And you think that idea of, yeah, networking, walking, yeah, yes. Nice, just being connected. I was thinking about when you say staying connected, I'm always thinking that, you know, we're working with another group of people where they get together every Monday. And one person was saying to me, I get no work done on a Monday. Yeah. And I'm saying, well, you're not meant to be. Yeah, you work actually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at home. And that's your main job. On a Monday, it's about connecting back to the team, isn't it? And that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think my answer would be, you are getting work done. It's just a different sort of work. But absolutely, when you've got deadlines looming, it's really easy to think, oh, is this a waste of time? But it really isn't. And again, going back to what we said earlier, that would happen in the office. And somehow we've got in our heads that unless we're sat at a laptop typing away or we're in a meeting with clients, the rest of the time is wasted. But it's not, is it? But it's all vital for it. So yeah, think about how you can come connected. And I think we're going to talk about this a bit more later as well, but particularly if you've got a mixed workforce, so if some people are in the office and some people are working at home, how do those connections work? So, and be creative, yeah.
Yeah, and actually manager, I was always thinking about, you know, always being connected. Yeah, you know, that idea of some people are in work, some aren't, so maybe have sort of a hybrid lunch or a hybrid coffee time or something of that form.
Absolutely. So someone I know, their business, particularly in the pandemic, they had a lunchroom every day that was open from 12 to 1. One of the, you know, more senior members of the team made sure they were there every day, just a chance for people to drop in and do some of that informal sharing as well, which can really help in a team, can't it?
Yeah, so not always talking about business, talking about what
absolutely.
Else is going on.
And as we've said, just like you would have done, you know, you'd normally come into work when we all used to work together. You're right, what you've done at the weekend. It's not about making people share everything, but you normally have some of that informal sharing, don't you? So that you're seeing your colleagues as people rather than just someone at the end of an email.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so that's the social well-being. What was the one we talked about? Occupational,
yeah. So I think this is the challenge that we're really starting to see. I guess now we're a little bit further into doing more remote working and hybrid working. I think we probably spotted quite early on some of the physical and emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. But now we're really starting to think about this of how people feel connected to the business. Mm. Do they feel part of you? If we're not going in and all sitting together, and if I'm not seeing my boss every day, or, you know, maybe I'm not seeing the main output of the business, how do I feel connected? And people worry about how are they going to prove themselves if it is mixed. So if some people are sat next to the boss and I'm sat at home, am I going to get passed over for promotion or for training opportunities? And you're trying to think as well about what might have happened naturally before that now won't. So I think learning new employees, you used to learn a lot just by watching other people, didn't you? Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
We used to call it sitting by Nelly, which I think now is a slightly strange name.
But, I've never heard of that one.
Haven't you? Well, no. Maybe that was just where I were then. But it was that thing of you learn by watching other people, don't you? And you'd see other people maybe handle a difficult phone call and you'd think, oh, okay, I liked the way they did that. And we're not getting that now because we're all just sat by ourselves.
Yeah, so that's that true mentoring, isn't it? I mean, I started with a mentor and it set the sort of tone of how you communicate with people and how you deal with bad situations and what a good outcome is and actually go away. And having that explained, I said that not because I needed to say it, I said it because I wanted them to whatever you're trying to foster or whatever you're trying to generate.
No, that's a brilliant example. So think about how can you create those opportunities if they're not going to happen naturally. So are there times when you can still shadow each other? So again, it might feel a bit like, is that wasted time? But we might do that in our business. Sometimes we'll maybe go along and help facilitate a session where probably the other person could manage without us, but it's just useful for us to see each other's styles working together. Perhaps sometimes it's about all coming together and sharing some learning, each bringing a situation. Well, I had this situation. This is what I did. This is what I thought was good about it. This is what I wasn't sure about. What would you have done? And sort of workshopping through things. And it might feel a bit awkward to start with because it feels a bit more formal, but it is just trying to think about where you can bridge that gap.
I think I was talking to someone in business and they were all remote working and they had a sort of Zoom call open most of the time. So they almost like buddied up, whether it's City by Nelly, I don't know, but they'd have so they'd be working, but they could hear something happening with someone as if it was in their virtual office, which I thought was interesting because I know sometimes when myself and my co-director Deborah, when we're working things together, we just keep the Zoom link open and we're both working on different things and then you can sort of, oh, I've done this. What is it that I'm doing? Yeah, I did. And you sort of, it can be quite a good environment.
That's a great idea. Yeah, absolutely. I might adopt that.
Yeah, it's a thought, isn't it? It's just you can hear something going on as if it's in the office. You can hear that background telephone call, provided it's not too much of a distraction, I guess.
Yeah, but I think then that serves, because sometimes it is, if you just sat by yourself, it's really quiet, you're looking at a blank page and you just have that. And I think, again, linking back a little bit to the emotional, I'm really aware of that as well, that if you're in a shared office, if you've had a difficult interaction with a customer or a client, you can just turn to the person next to you and go, oh, what a nightmare that was.
Just let off, just a little vent of steam or something, then move on.
Yeah, you can just process it, can't you, in two minutes, because the other person goes, yeah, this sounded a nightmare, and that's it. Whereas, again, if you've got no one to do that with and you're just sat at home by yourself, it's really easy for stuff to fester and become more than it is in your head. So, again, where are you providing opportunities? So it's sometimes just allowing the fact that in your team meetings or when you get together one-to-ones, the first 5-10 minutes might just be a bit of a, I just need to get this off my chest, and then we can focus on work. And it's just not being afraid to allow that time and space.
Yeah. It's interesting when you say not connected. I think that's quite interesting. I feel like I'm distant from the business. We may come back to that, actually. What other things should we be thinking about?
Yeah, so just a lot of the things we've talked about, really. If you have got a team of people, it's useful to agree how you're going to work together, maybe set some expectations. So is it okay to just have a Zoom call going all the time? Would that work for you? Mm-hmm. Which sounds like it's brilliant for some. For other people, that might just drive them insane.
Yeah.
So just have some really honest conversations about what works. Can I pick up the phone to you anytime? Can I press the team call anytime? Or would you rather me just drop you a message that says, can you let me know when you're free? Again, it sounds really basic stuff, but it's negotiating how you're going to work together, isn't it? And you tend to just kind of work that out in an office, whereas when you're all sat separately, it's not as obvious.
Yeah, if someone's got their head down and working away, you're very rarely going to walk up to the desk and interrupt them. Actually, you're going to keep an eye out until they get up and go for a water or a coffee or something and catch them on the way.
Absolutely. Great example. Whereas if they're sat with their head down at home, you don't know that, do you? And sometimes you just feel like you're getting somewhere and then the good old Teams beeps up and you're like, oh. Don't really, but can you say no? So I think that's another thing, is like remote working requires more trust. Mm-hmm. Because we can't see each other. Mm-hmm. You've got to trust that your employees or your colleagues are doing the work. So sometimes people feel that they've got to be sat at their computer all the time. Mm-hmm. If somebody calls them on Teams, they've got to be able to answer. And that's just not realistic, is it? Because we've all got to get up and get a drink of water and have a break. And so can you set standards around, you know, responsiveness and just make it clear to people, it's okay if you miss a Teams call that you weren't expecting. It's fine. You don't have to be able to pick up at any moment.
Yeah, I suppose there's that, I don't know, some anxiety about having answering everything. I mean, I think I learned very early on with mobile phones that just because it rings doesn't mean I have to answer it, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with a Teams call or a Zoom invite or whatever. It's like, you know what? I'm busy at the moment. I'll call you back when I'm ready. Or when I've finished my sticky toffee or whatever. So I did do that once. You know, so just started toffee and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, you're on. I couldn't speak or anything.
Yeah. Okay. And it is, I've had people say to me, oh, well, you know, I tried to contact so-and-so and they were away from their desk for 15 minutes. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, and maybe they weren't even away from the desks. Maybe they just weren't on Teams for 15 minutes. Maybe they turned it off so they could concentrate on what they were doing. There could be 101 reasons. So, yeah.
So I guess with this, all the sort of business conversations are probably quite easy to sort out and the business comms and to set them barriers and boundaries. Yes. But I guess it's the casual ones are difficult. They're the ones you've almost got to work on.
Yeah. And so that's where I'd say it's just be explicit and have those conversations, and they might feel awkward to start with, but we're all different. We're all going to have different things that work for us. So just try and have those conversations.
Yeah. And I guess that comes into routines as well, doesn't it? As well. So, you know, fixed times for stuff, for things where, you know, okay, that's your work bit, you get on there, but we'll meet up at just before lunch or last thing at night or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Routines can be really helpful. I know we're going to talk another time about boundaries and that fits into this, but definitely what's been found is that people having some kind of routine is helpful. Obviously, working from home can give flexibility to us and that can be brilliant. But a routine can really be helpful for a lot of people. So, and again, this is where I think you can role model as a leader, perhaps in the business as well, encourage having breaks, discourage people from booking meetings back to back. So you'll see people's diaries with their meetings 9 till 10, 10 to 11, 11. It's like, when are you?
Guilty.
Yeah, I know. No, we all did it. And we did that in real life as well, didn't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember working at a hospital and it was half a mile from one end of the site to the other, and we'd still book meetings back to back. It's like, it's not physically possible.
Yeah.
So let's try and break that.
Okay. So obviously you work for Macmillan and Associates HR specialist. Yes. Is there other external help that you can get in this?
Absolutely. And that's the other thing we would encourage as well, is don't think that you have to try and handle this all by yourself. So one thing that a lot of businesses are using now is something called EAPs, mm-hmm. Employee Assistance Programs. So these tend to offer like a confidential helpline. People can ring, access to counselling, and they can be surprisingly low cost. So that might be something that you want to mm-hmm. investigate. The other thing is just be aware what is out there and what you can signpost to. So there's lots of support groups. There's things like Andy's Man Club, mm-hmm. Mind, Calm. There's lots of groups, and there'll be some in your local area as well. So it's worth familiarising yourself with what is out there and just encouraging people to tap into that.
Yeah, and I suppose that's both ways, isn't it? Actually, you signposting for your employees, but as an employee, almost taking some of that, I mean, yourself and saying, I do need to chat this through. I do need someone to bounce. So look at things like, say, Andy's Mantle or whatever as a way of supporting you through that.
Yeah, and it's very much a two-way, as you say. It's about the manager or business owner being aware of this, but it is about, as individuals, we all need to take some responsibility. I don't know, just be aware, I guess, for ourselves.
So top tips, just a quick summary.
Keep communication going. Remember, that's got to be two-way. So you're talking, but you're listening. Yeah, yeah. Remember, everyone's different. We're all going to have different needs. Try and build that in. Encourage well-being as part of your conversation. So don't just ask people where they're up to with their work. Try and make time for that well-being stuff as well. And if you can, role model well-being. If you show that it's important, that gives the people that you're working with permission to do that as well.
Yeah, you're setting the tone, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks for that, Liz.
Brilliant. Great. Nice to chat to you. Thanks, and Guy.
You. You've been listening to a Business Lincolnshire podcast. Look out for the next episode. If you're listening on the Business Lincolnshire YouTube channel, don't forget to give us a thumbs up or subscribe down below.
If you're on your favourite podcast platform, then remember to follow the show. More information at businesslincolnshire.com.